This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Lee Francois is a minister in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. He tells a powerful story out of his days at Briarcrest College in Saskatchewan, one of the provinces of Canada. He said he went to school at a small town on Trans-Canadian Highway 1. There's only one east and west highway that goes all the way through Canada. Some of you have ridden on it. It's Highway 1. It goes from Vancouver all the way over to one of the eastern provinces. The college is there in the middle of nowhere. And he said he borrowed on a Friday his roommate's car keys and said, I need to go 20 miles east to Moose Jaw. What a name for a town, Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Got some business there to take care of. May I borrow your car? I'll bring it back in time for you to leave to go 100 miles west on Highway 1 to a place called Swift Current, Saskatchewan, to see his girlfriend. Great names for towns, Moose Jaw and Swift Current. Lee Francois was on his way back from Moose Jaw, 20 miles, sees a hitchhiker on the road, pulls over, picks him up in this borrowed car. And Lee, by his own admission, said, you know, I'm not much of a personal evangelist. I'm not real good one-on-one with people, even though he's a speaker and preaches. He said, I'm not the best evangelist. But I attempted to witness to this young man in the 20-mile trek from Moose Jaw to the college. We got to the college. I said, this is all the farther I'm going. He dropped him off, and he got out on the highway again and put his thumb out to hitchhike. He came back to his room, Lee did, handed the keys to his roommate, and the roommate said, I'm out of here till Sunday night, going to see my girlfriend in Swift Current. On Sunday night, he comes back and says, Lee, you won't believe what happened to me. As I was driving west out of the town, heading toward Swift Current, there was a young man hitchhiking by the side of the road, and I pulled over and picked him up. And I started witnessing to him about my faith, and he stopped me and said, hey, man, I was just in this car. Somebody else was driving and they were saying the same thing you were. It's weird. And this young man, Lee's roommate, had 2 hours with this young man. And they drove to Swift Current, and the roommate told Lee, he said, we pulled over by the side of the road, and he said, I just asked him, would you like to accept Jesus Christ into your life right now? And they prayed together. And he said it was a powerful moment as the young man bowed his head and said, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I accept him as the Lord of my life. Lee said that was a powerful lesson for him because what he blew off as something not important, I didn't do anything powerful, there was nothing that happened. The young man said, hey, thanks, I'm out of here. The Lord used as the initial seed, and then it was followed through with the second driver of the same car, who led him to the Lord. What's that a lesson about? Is that the Lord can take whatever you and I do for him, every word we say, every act of giving of ourselves to other people, you trust the Lord to do with it what he will. It's not up to you to do everything with the results. So many of you have come from a background where you think it's all up to you. You know, if it's to be, it's up to me. If it's going to happen, I'm the one that's going to have to pull the trigger, pull the string, whatever the term is that you use to describe that kind of thing. And today, I want you to realize through two scriptures we're going to read, one from Ecclesiastes and one from the New Testament, that God takes responsibility for the results because of the power that he has in you. It's his power.
Well, we'll continue this message tomorrow from the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Talking about casting your bread upon the waters. Maybe you've heard that phrase or you've even heard that scripture read, casting your bread upon the waters, but you've wondered like me, what in the world does it mean? We'll continue with that thought tomorrow on Cross Hope. God bless you.
We're in the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes today, and we're in a mini-series within a series. 2 weeks ago, we had a message that was entitled, Life is Unexplainable. And we talked about how there are things in your life that you can't explain. There's some terrible things, negative things in your life that you have no explanation for, and I've got an announcement to make. You will never explain it to yourself or to other people. all your life. There are things that have happened that are unexplainable. Last week, we talked from chapter 9 that life is unpredictable, and I used this mental experiment. I said, think back to 2003, 10 years ago. Think back to where you were, the people you were with, people you worked for, all the things, where you live. Did you know back in 2003 everything that was going to transpire in 2013? No. Did you have any idea of the negative things that might happen in 10 years? No. Did you have any idea of the good things that might happen in the years that transpired? No. Life is unpredictable. Today, life is unimaginable. Life is unimaginable because you can't imagine what God can do in your life, and neither can I, because we don't know what He will do and what He can do. Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter, Solomon is the author, and it says this. I'm going to change the translation and use my translation for the first verse because I like the version I have. Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Give portions to seven, yes, to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there will it lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind, listen carefully, most important verse of this passage. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle, for you don't know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. And then from the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, Paul writes this, Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever, forever and ever. Amen. What I want you to go home with today, I'm going to give you the gist of it right now. Some of you need to get off the dime about something going on in your life. And maybe this is a word, maybe it's not. Maybe I'm a little presumptuous in saying it, but some of you need to get off the dime about something going on in your life, and you need to pull the trigger and make that decision. Because so many people in life wait till the conditions are perfect, and it's got to be just right before I pick a school. It's got to be just right before we buy a house. Everything has to be perfect, and you know what happens? We reach a point where we don't decide anything. And I'm convinced that if you wait until everything is perfectly in front of you in terms of God's will for your life, you may not do anything. And I think the Lord is saying to us through this passage, just do it and trust me with the results.
Well, I don't know if that speaks to you. It speaks to me. We're in a series called Futile, The Meaning of Life from the book of Ecclesiastes. And we'll continue this message this Thanksgiving week tomorrow on CrossHope. Remember, our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you.
We don't use the phrase of verse 1, cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again, verse 1. It's a figurative expression that some Bible scholars think it has to do with business and shipping grain to other countries, and then you get a profit, and maybe that's what Solomon had in mind because he did that kind of thing as the ruler of Israel. But some people think it has to do with your life, that you give to others. Jesus said, give and it will be given unto you. I like that interpretation of Ecclesiastes 11, that as you do things in life, you give of yourself, you decide to do things, the Lord takes it and multiplies it. Verse 2 says, give portions to seven, yes to eight, for you don't know what disaster may come upon the land. Four times in this passage, in six verses, here's what it says. You don't know. Four times. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. Do you know what that means? You don't know. And I don't either. You don't have the answers to everything. I'm amazed at people who have everybody else's life figured out, and they can say, well, I'll tell you what his problem is, and I'll tell you what her problem, and my cousin so-and-so, he just needs to do that, and that's okay. We all do that. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but a lot of times we do that, and we don't even have our own problems figured out. We haven't figured out our own lives when we're telling other people how to live and how to conduct their lives. What's it mean in 3 and 4 where it says, if clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth, and if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. It's talking about people getting caught up in the details of life. And life can go wrong. Things can go wrong. But we can't put our life on hold and wait till the ideal conditions can come about for anything. There are times we just have to move ahead and do something. And then I want to focus on verse 5. I said the most important verse, as you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. You and I have no idea. The greatest theologian, the person who knows little about the Bible, both have no idea what God can do, what God wants to do, what God is able to do. Get this, in your life, in the life of your spouse, in the life of your children, in the life of your parents, if we give God the opportunity and pray for God to work in their lives. I know this sounds a little sarcastic, but one author says this. He said, so many people live by the idea of get all you can all you get, and then sit on the can. I love that. I think that's pretty whatever. Get all you can all you get, and then sit on the can. In other words, we've got to launch out in life and do things, decide things. We don't know what God can do. Some people are so protective and so hesitant to do anything. Eileen Guder wrote a book that was titled, God, I'm Bored. What a title, God, I'm Bored. She said you can live on bland food so as to avoid an ulcer. You can choose to drink no tea or coffee or any other stimulant in the name of health. You can go to bed early and stay away from nightlife. You can avoid all controversial subjects so as never to give offense. You can mind your own business and avoid involvement in other people's problems. Spend money only on necessities and then save all you can. And then you can still break your neck in the bathtub and it will serve you right. It will serve you right. She's got a great point there. There's a time for all of us to do something.
Well, from all of us at Cross Hope Ministries, we'd like to wish you a happy Thanksgiving tomorrow. Our website is crosshope.org.
I'm always drawn to books because of their titles, good or bad. And I saw the title in reference to this book by Kevin DeYoung. It's called Just Do Something, A Liberating Approach to Finding God's Will. Just do something. And the subtitle is this, How to Make a Decision Without Dreams, Visions, Fleeces, Impressions, Open Doors, Random Bible Verses, Casting Lots, Liver Shivers, never heard that term before, Liver Shivers, Writing in the Sky. And the gist of Kevin's book is that we've got a generation today of people who are hesitant to launch out in life because of indecision. In fact, he begins his book by quoting a book by Robert Wuthnow from Princeton, a book called After the Baby Boomers, How 20 and 30-somethings Are Shaping the Future of America. Withrow describes people 21 to 45 years of age as tinkerers. Kevin says, our grandparents built, our parents boomed, and my generation, we tinker. Of course, as Wuthnow points out, tinkering's not all bad. Those who tinker know how to improvise, specialize, pull things apart, and pull people together from 1,000 different places. But tinkering also means indecision, contradiction, and instability. We're seeing a generation, he said, I'm afraid, grow up who tinker with doctrine, tinker with churches, tinker with girlfriends and boyfriends, tinker with college majors, tinker living in and out of their parents' basements, tinker with spiritual practices, no matter how irreconcilable or divergent. We're not consistent. We're not stable. We don't stick with anything. We aren't sure of making the right decisions. Most of the time, we can't even make a decision. We don't follow through. And this is a young man in this generation who says, all of this means as Christian young people, we are less fruitful and less faithful than we ought to be. Well, it's not just 21 to 45-year-olds who struggle with that. All people of all ages struggle indecision. Somebody came here today and needs to hear this, that you've been waiting to make a decision about a job, about a house, about some relationship in your life, and maybe you need to move forward and say, we're going to trust God with the results. And I know that's risky. Everything is risky about life. What does it mean in verse 6? Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle, for you don't know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. He's speaking figuratively, that there's no magic time to do anything in life, whether it's morning or evening, just do it. That's what Solomon is saying. You don't know what God will do with what you commit to Him. We had something very interesting happen first service today. A young couple came forward who got married at September 22nd, somewhere else. I didn't have the wedding. But they said, we just would like to have people in the church pray for our marriage. And people stood around this couple and put their hands on them and prayed for their marriage. I thought it was very powerful. Do you know why it was powerful? Because of Ephesians 3:20. I'm going to read it now. Let's bring that up. Ephesians. It's powerful what they did because of this verse. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power. That's the key. According to His power that is at work within us. I'd like to think that what that couple was doing is saying, we recognize that it's about His power in our marriage. It's His power in our relationship. It's His power in our future family. You know what? You're right. It's all about His power, not yours, not mine.
Well, this message concludes tomorrow from the book of Ecclesiastes. Happy Thanksgiving. And again, our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
I love a story I told about a year and a half ago, told by Dr. Mitchell Dillon, who said, when I was a boy, I always looked forward to our summer trips from San Francisco to West Texas to spend vacation time with extended family. My two younger brothers and I would pile into our un-air-conditioned car, anxious to begin the long trek across California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. At the end of each day's journey, the three of us would beeline our way to the motel pool to rehydrate, something we really looked forward to after hours of being blasted in the back seat by hot desert air. These were great adventures filled with the excitement of seeing new places and the extravagance of eating out, something we never did at home. Some of you have memories of that. The only time you ever ate out were when you're on vacation. You always ate every meal at home. And many people, first service particularly, said, we never ate out. We only ate at home. And so that was a big deal to eat at a restaurant on the road between San Francisco and West Texas. One year during our journey, my youngest brother James did something completely out of character for his normally compliant nature. Despite a tight budget and strict instructions to the contrary, my brother James defiantly placed the same order at every restaurant we stopped at. I'll have what my dad's having. I'll have what my dad's having, he would insist. Apparently, my little brother had noticed that the plate of food that was placed in front of our father looked a lot more appealing than the kid's meal that was typically placed in front of him. That's all it took. From then on, all he wanted what his father was having. At 5 years of age, my little brother didn't know much, but he knew that anything Dad ordered would be better than what he knew to order off the kid's menu. What a genius. What a genius. I think you know where he goes with the application. There are men in this room, there are women in this room, young people in this room, who need to stop wondering about what you want and what I want. What's God want for my life? What would God have on the plate for my life? What would God have on the plate for our marriage? What would God have on the plate for my career? And that would be a new concept for many people, yet I believe there's power. There is power in making that decision. I really do. God is able to do more than we would ever ask or imagine because of what? His power. His power working in a life. Don't ever think that what you do for the Lord, what you say for the Lord, what act of grace or mercy you show, it doesn't mean anything. It means everything to the Lord when you do it in His name. Anything you do, anything you say in His name has power. Has power. What's the message today? Cast your bread upon the water. Give your life, your words, your energy, your gifts, your abilities to the Lord, and the Lord will send it back to you with blessing and with power. Jesus would put it this way, give, and it will be given back to you with greater measure. That's the promise. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for speaking to us through this book of Ecclesiastes. 2 weeks ago, life is unexplainable, and it is. Last week, life is unpredictable, and it is. Today, life is unimaginable, and it is, because you can do more than we would ever ask or imagine.
Well, we'd like for you to know that the last message in this series from the book of Ecclesiastes will air next week on CrossHope. Remember, our web address is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to any message you may have missed. God bless you.
You have been listening to CrossHope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to CrossHope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of CrossHope Ministries.